Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue. Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Let's start on that first one. You want to talk about tough skins.
So, you know, people having issues with range, they want to look for an easy solution. Is it the antenna on my handheld? What if I get a longer antenna on my collar? A lot of people, I don't know if they just don't understand it or know that our tough skin, the antenna material, that wire in there is the same thing that Garmin's using.
I believe so. I don't have the specs of Garmin's, but it's a stainless steel. It's a higher grade stainless steel. So that shouldn't corrode. Cause the first antennas we made years ago, we made out of galvanized, and they would corrode with the, you know, moisture and stuff. And so we moved to a stainless steel so that the corrosion, doesn't happen, or at least it holds better. So that's why we use a stainless steel. I've always, in the back of my head, I've always thought, man, would a copper wire be better? Because stainless steel is not always the best antenna. You know, it's not always the best conductive material. Like, there's better conductive materials like copper.
But copper, you induce moisture into it. It goes bad fast.
It'll turn green. And so I was like, well, you know, is it better to have a little bit lower grade antenna that performs better in 4 months, 6 months, you know what I mean? Or is it better to have an antenna that you got to, and maybe selling antennas, maybe we should make the copper antenna. It's like, yeah, this is good for 2 months, and then you got to put a new one on there, but you'll get a 10%, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's this balance in making those antennas that I've always looked at and go, okay, we had to sacrifice a little bit of conductive material like copper or, you know, galvanized or whatever, and go to a stainless steel because the anti-corrosive factor of it, what the dogs are doing to them. And
well, and copper's soft too. You get, and I tell people when I talk to them, like, I always thought the most destructive force on the earth was a bored Marine who's got nothing to do. And then I started working here, and over the last few years, I'm like, no, bored dogs. Dogs sitting in a dog box, dogs with nothing to do will chew anything they can find. And that copper is a soft material. They chew it, it's done.
Like the first Garmin antennas were actually a plastic coil mm-hmm. or a plastic hollow tube, and it had a copper wire wrapped around it. And they performed pretty good, but they would break after the flexible. That copper piece would move and it would break, and then you'd have this break in your antenna. So instead of your antenna being 22 inches long, now it's like 6 inches long, and you never noticed that it broke right there, that wire.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So that's kind of the invent of the Tuskins antenna. They were more durable because those first Garmin antennas that came out on the DC-30s and the DC-40s were a copper. It was a solid copper wire that was wrapped around a plastic core. And after a while, it would break in the middle somewhere. And it was coated with rubber, so you never seen the...
Yeah, you can't see a small wire break through that rubber.
Yeah, you didn't see it. And so it was like, oh, the wire was broken side there. But nobody ever knew it because it just didn't do it. So that's where the Tuskins come out. To get back to your question about range issues, will putting a Tuskin on it fix your range issues? Maybe. Like, I think I got this question. We get it quite a bit. I got this question from Ross, I think. He was having some range issues on a collar, and it's like he was having 100, yeah. Everybody says, oh, I get 100 or 200 yards of reception. And so the first thing we want to do in my head is we have to isolate. Are we talking about the collar or are we talking about the handheld? Mm-hmm. So the first question is are all your dogs tracking good distances and this one collar is not? Well, that would indicate that the handheld's fine. The collar's having the issue. If you only have one dog and one handheld, it's really hard to determine is the problem in the handheld or is the problem in the collar.
I've been wrong with that one. We have somebody call, they have one, and you know, I do my best. They send in the handheld and it's like, this thing works fine. Turns out it was the collar. And you know, I got to call and be like, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. Like, we need to get your collar replaced. We got your handheld tested, you know, and it is really hard to do when somebody only has access to one of each.
Yes. Yeah. So, identifying if you got if you got six collars, seven collars, and all of them are tracking it up to a mile or whatever your standard tracking distance is. It's always different for different terrain. And then you got this one that's tracking at 100 or 200 yards. That would indicate the collar is, there's something wrong with the collar. And we'll talk about that in a second here. The other situation is the handheld could be the problem. And 100, 200 yards, I want to talk just quickly on this handheld. That normally is about the distance I'll see without a handheld antenna on the device. So when somebody says it's only tracking 100 or 200 yards, bells are going off in my head that are like, is your device connected to the antenna? And I don't mean physically. I mean, you could look at it and go, yeah, there's an antenna there. I mean electrically, yeah. Meaning it may be screwed on, but the little pin could be broken in the antenna, or the pin that sticks in the little hole on that top of that device.
That sleeve that makes contact gets pushed in.
It could be just one micrometer, a thousandth of an inch from making contact, and the electricity is not going to jump that gap. Or it might jump it a little bit, but it's not going to jump that gap. It's not making good contact. So just because you have your truck antenna connected and you're not getting distance does not mean that the electrical connection is being made possible. Meaning, so I, you know, before we get into the collar, I want to talk about the handheld is making sure that the pin, you know, where you thread on yes. the top of the device, making sure that pin is sticking out far enough. And you look at it, it should be about flush with the threaded piece, right? I mean, it should be pretty close to flush. You should be able to feel it with your finger.
There's the brass piece it threads onto. There's like an insulator in the middle, that little off-white piece. And then the sleeve in the middle should be about flush.
That's on the handheld.
Yes.
And then on the antenna piece, you're going to have, if you look at that pin, you know, that's the male piece, the male connector. It's kind of backwards from what we would think. We're not looking at the threads. So the threads are female, mm-hmm. but the electrical connection piece is male.
Yes.
Right? So it's got a little pin in there. And that pin should be sticking out, not past the threaded piece, but getting fairly close.
You should be able to almost run your nail across it. Yeah, just you should barely be able to, touch
it. You should be able to maybe touch it with your nail, but if you had a flat board, it wouldn't touch. You know, mm-hmm. So if it was flat, it wouldn't touch. But if something could dig in there a little bit, it's a couple, you know, a millimeter, 2 millimeters below the threaded piece. So that would be one thing to check is make sure that is. If you're using a truck antenna, making sure where you thread your antenna onto the base is, you know, there's a little pogo pin there. There's a little gold pin in the middle. And if you look at the base, it's got a little disc there that pin's supposed to connect on.
Great.
I've seen antennas that don't go thread enough. I've had, I had a buddy. He couldn't get his radio to work. Again, that antenna was not going there. He took a little, he took a dime. I think he put the dime in the middle of it, put it on there. Well, the dime just gave it enough connection to make it through there, and it worked. I don't necessarily recommend putting a dime in those antennas, but that fixed it out on the mountain, and he was able to talk on his, and this was a truck antenna, but it is the same theory as the dog tracking antennas. If that pogo pin is not touching that pad, and it's really hard to tell, right? But you're not going to get good distance. And so it can look like you got the antenna on. It can look like the antenna's connected to the alpha, but the pins inside may not make connection. So that's the first thing I want people to do when they're having, you know, range issues is look at your handheld. Let's roll it back now to, I got the question initially was, I have a collar TT25, you know, will the Tuscan improve or fix my range issue? Let's assume I got 6 collars that are tracking good distances, just fine, up to a mile, you know, 2 miles with an antenna or truck antenna, blah, blah, blah. But I got this one that's tracking 100 yards. I still want to check the antenna. So will a Tuscan fix that? I'm going to say probably not, right? Unless there's something wrong with the antenna that's on there.
Now, do you think if your systems are running fine and you just... you're trying to squeeze every yard out of it you can. Because our tough skins, you know, you get those, right? The call I had the other day, a guy got his TT25 in, and that VHF antenna is just coiled real tight because that's how we receive them from Garmin, in a small little box coiled in there. And those factory antennas.
What do you mean coiled?
Like the, when we pull them out of the box, the TT25, when we pull them out.
They're turned
pretty good. Yeah, they're coiled, they're turned pretty good. You know, and his question was, if I put a tough skin on there and we stick it straight up, you know, cause they're a little bit more rigid, they're flexible, but will that sticking it up give you more range?
It is. So antennas are very tricky. And there's no single,
right,
easy answer.
There's so many variables to it.
There's a ton of variables. Before we get into that, I mean, I want to go back to, will a tough skin fix, you know, if I have a range issue, will a tough skin fix the issue? And my inclination is probably not, but there's a couple things you have to verify first. And so when you take that antenna off, whether it's a tough skin or the Garmin factory antenna, what I'm going to want, if I was having that issue, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that off, and that there's a Phillips screw that holds that antenna on. It's very easy to replace. I'm just going to take that off, and then I'm going to take like a toothbrush and some electrical cleaner. You know, you can go buy some electrical cleaner at the hardware store, and I'm going to scrub that connector, and I'm going to scrub the connector that the antenna is on, because I want to make sure there's no corrosive or even a thin layer of oxidation that you can't see, right? And so if there is any corrosive activity happening, and you may not see the corrosive activity, it may be like a really thin layer that can really cause distance issues to happen really easily. I liken it to like electricity. An easy way to explain electricity sometimes is to use like water as an example, right? So if this collar, let's just assume that the electricity, the signal coming out of the antenna is water, right? So that's what's going to come out that antenna. So we have this antenna, which is a pipe, and it has a hole at the end of the pipe. And so that water can come out the end of the pipe. And the collar is your faucet, right? So whenever Garmin wants to send the signal out, it turns on the faucet and it shoots this batch of water out the pipe, right?
Yeah.
And where that antenna makes the connection to the box, where that Phillips screw is, with the part I'm asking you to clean, let's assume it was, you got your garden hose and it's kinked right there, right? Because it's a hose, but it's got a kink in it. And that would be effectively having a layer of oxidation or something in there, or it was clogged. There's a little bit of a clog. It's like, it's got a muddy clog in it.
It's a layer of, you could think of, I kind of
resistance,
right? I think of it as, I'm trying to clean my car. I can't get this one spot because it's grease.
Yep.
There's something inhibiting that passage.
Yeah, it's got a kink somewhere, right? That kink is slowing down my water pressure. So instead of getting 20 pounds of water pressure, whatever you're used to getting, well, now you're getting 5 pounds. It's barely dripping out, right? You're trying to wash your car, but it's like, what's the first thing you do? You go check the hose. You go look and go, oh, there's the kink. Open up the kink. Water hose is fixed, right? That's the same mentality of what I'm wanting people to do when they're having distance issues, is go check that connector, because if it has oxidization or it has any type of resistive behavior, if you have 2 watts coming out, you might only be getting 0.5 or a half a watt coming through the antenna.
Okay.
That it could cause, it doesn't take much to have a 50% drop in your quote unquote water pressure, the electrical pressure coming out of the collar, which is your signal. And so if the antenna is not getting the full 2 watts, it's not going to transmit 2 watts. Right. And so, that is the one thing you need to check if you have distance issues. Like if you don't pull that antenna apart, put a good electrical clean on it, take a toothbrush or, not one you're using, but scrub it,
brother or sister's toothbrush,
and go run it and go, okay, did that fix it? I would recommend doing that to all your callers every 6 months. You know what I mean? It's not going to hurt anything to clean that and make sure it's good and connected. If that doesn't fix it, well then, maybe then that leads me to believe that the Garmin device is not outputting the full power.
Okay.
And so that if that's the case, that's a repair issue, that there's not much we can do to just go in there and tweak the power. I wish there was. I'd love to have some tools to check power output of these collars. We just don't. So, now just fixing your antenna, putting a Tuscan on it, if it has a resistive, yeah, that Tuscan's going to fix it, right? But it wasn't the antenna that fixed it. It was the connection that you broke. And then when you re-screwed it on, because you re-screwed it on and that screw bit into it and knocked off the oxidization, you fixed the problem and you're going to think, oh, this Tuscan fixed it. Well, you were actually just, you could have done that with a little bit of a scrub clean. So that would be my answer on a Tuscan. Compared to the factory one, really the Tuscan is not designed to like give you an improved range.
And that's what I tell people. It's a alternative replacement. It's something with a little better coating, something that's gonna, I have one collar. I have it on one dog. It lives between my dog and my in-laws' dogs. I see all the wear and tear coming in, and I think if I had handfuls of collars, when those Garmin antennas kink and they bend and they fold over, I think that's the I think that's the big upgrade for me on the tough skin is you're not getting that same deformity, that same, those kinks in there like that.
Yeah. I don't like those kinks don't affect it.
Oh, I know. That's it's like an OCD like appearance thing for me.
Yeah. The other question we get a lot, and you kind of alluded to this, was if we get that antenna sticking straight up, is it going to improve my range? And the answer is it quite possibly could, right? There's a couple things on range that when we talk about range and distance, it's a really hard thing to figure out, right? Because you have the antenna on the handheld, which is essentially a receive signal. And so most of the time, because that's in our hand, we focus on that. Yeah. Meaning, we look at that and go, oh, I can get this antenna. I can get this truck antenna. I can double my range, you know, because I have this truck antenna. And so now I'm getting 2 miles or 3 miles out of a truck antenna. Sometimes you get more or whatever, but, that's the easy thing for us to look at and go, okay, I can quickly adjust the antenna. And what we're normally doing is we're changing the antenna height. Mm-hmm. So we put it on the back. You know, if you look at my truck, my antenna is sitting up there 10 feet in the air. You know what I mean? Well, that's much better than sitting down at 5 feet or 4.5 feet, wherever I normally hold my handheld. Well, I doubled the distance in the air that antenna is in. And so it doesn't necessarily double your range, but it does make a big difference on the curvature and getting a line of sight better for that. So changing the antenna height does make a big difference. Now on a dog, so that's the handheld. That's half of the equation, right? Receive signal is half of the equation. The other half of the equation is on the dog. And we don't have much control over that dog making sure that antenna is in the right position, right? So if the antenna is coiled around the dog's neck versus standing straight up, I don't know. What is that, a 6-inch difference?
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not a huge improvement that you're going to see in tall grass, but it is something. You know what I mean? So is it going to double your distance? Probably not. But are you going to see maybe a 10% increase? Yeah, I think you could probably measure 10% depending on where that antenna is and how, you know.
I think that's the hardest part with people is, you know, we want numbers. We want guarantees. And somebody calls and says, well, is this going to double my range? Man, I can't. It's environmental. There's so many factors. I can tell you it could help, but I'm not going to give you a number because where you are with your handheld, where your collars are, is it raining? Is it foggy? Are you in a canyon? Are you on a flat plains? There's so many factors we can't account for with somebody's personal equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really difficult because every day is different too. So you can have a baseline. If you hunt enough, you have a baseline of what's kind of normal, and there can be days that are not normal. And you're looking for patterns, basically. You know what I mean? You can't take a one of situation and make a decision on it. You have to see the pattern. And so it's really tough. So, you know, can the dog, you know, tough skin with the antenna sticking up straight up make an improvement? Yep. You could probably make an improvement. You could probably see an improvement, but it would be really hard to measure the improvement because unless
to get a proper measurement, to get proper results, you have to duplicate everything almost exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I'd want to see it several times.
Right. And you can't guarantee your dog's going to run the same path, that it's going to, the antenna is going to be sticking up. Are you standing in the same spot? Is your handheld at the same elevation?
You can do some scenarios, you know, especially if you got 10 dogs. You can tuck 5 antennas and leave 5 antennas untucked and go, okay, generally these 5 antennas that are untucked antennas that are kind of sticking more up, they're getting better range than the antennas that are tucked in. You know, like, well, there's some things you can do to get some quick data on. I have not noticed a big enough difference that makes it worthwhile for me. So, sometimes I tuck, sometimes I don't tuck them. Like it really doesn't matter. I'm not worried about having antennas tucked back in the collar like that.
Yep.
But again, there are guys that want every inch that they can get of performance. And I can say, electrically speaking, height of the antenna is a factor. And so by me tucking that antenna in, I'm keeping that antenna lower by a couple inches. It could make a difference. So I think we beat this up enough, but will Tuscans fix the issue?
Maybe.
I mean, they absolutely might be, but if you have an antenna that looks good and a Tuscan fixes it, I'm going to tell you it was probably breaking the connection and reconnecting it, and you might have been able to fix it by just taking that screw off, cleaning that connector, and rescrewing that antenna back on. And we should be doing that at least once a year, if not twice a year.
I think that's definitely something, because I'll have people call and ask about taking care of their collars. Or I know there's a few guys I've talked to, they're like, oh, every, you know, end of every season, I take the collar straps off, clean this, clean that. And I'm like, you know, that's great. You're getting that moisture out. We're not dry rotting. But that's something I hadn't heard before. So I'm adding that to my checklist of stuff to potentially maintenance.
And with the 25 collars, I would even say breaking apart the GPS antenna.
Yes.
Because that is the same thing that can happen there, is that pogo pin style can have a little slight resistive connection and can cause the GPS portion not to.
So that's a perfect one to bring up, because that was another question, something we get a lot, is, hey, I'm not picking up my 25 on my 300. First thing I'm gonna say, okay, what's the light on that collar doing? Well, it's yellowish. Is it green? No, it's not green. Okay, we have a GPS issue. So that's going to kind of segue into that GPS chip.
So that's a good thing. Like a TT25 collar, when you turn it on, it first blinks yellow when it's trying to acquire the satellite signals. And then once it acquires the satellite signals, once it talks to at least four different satellites to get its location, it'll switch to a green blink and it starts blinking green. If it's not blinking green, it's not going to work. It's not going to transmit. It's not going to tell you where it's at. Like, there's no point in looking at the handheld. If that's a yellow blink, you've got to fix that problem on the collar. And so making sure the collar has a good view of the sky, a clear view of the sky, it's sitting still. It's not just thrown on a dog. You know, one of the more frustrating things is you can turn a collar on and throw it on a dog real fast. And if that dog's moving around, it takes two or three times longer to get that GPS signal acquired than it does if you just leave it sit still. So when I start, I don't put a collar on a dog until it sits on my tailgate, until I watch it turn green. And it'll normally take, you know, 30, 40 seconds, something like that, a minute maybe. But if I put it on a dog, and it'll take 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. It's like, man, I begin to think that collar is not going to work. And it's just that the Garmin can't link that position because the dog's moving. And so it says, oh, I think I'm here. And then by the time it double checks, it goes, nope, I'm not here. I'm actually, you know, 5 yards over here. And then when it tries to double check that, it's like, nope, I'm actually not 5 yards. You know what I mean? So that dog's moving and Garmin's trying to pin it down exactly where it is. And every time it just goes to confirm it, it gets the information back and goes, no, that's not where I was. I'm 5 yards here. And so Garmin thinks, nope, we're not right. And so it doesn't lock that position.
And this is all happening fast.
Yeah.
The satellites are talking fast.
Within, I mean, it's not like instant, but it takes 5, 10, 15 seconds for it to.
And that little bit of time, I mean, anybody knows, you open a door, dog's gone.
Like, yeah.
That could be some serious distance.
So making sure that when you turn these collars on, they sit still for the first, just until Garmin locks it in and goes, I know where I am, right? And so keeping it still, that collar still with a good view of the sky, is going to make that collar sync up much faster than if you put it on a moving dog. It will eventually, most of the time, knock on wood, it will normally lock on to a dog. I've had it where I forget to do that and I throw it on a dog. And sometimes it takes 10, 15 minutes before I get that dog to pop up. And that's pretty nerve wracking, especially if the dog's out running. But, you know, if you want to speed that up, take the collar off the dog or sit there and hold your dog still for a minute, which when you're out in the woods, holding a dog still for a minute seems like forever. But doing that, it'll turn green. Once it turns green, then you're good. You know, you're locked in and it'll just get better and better and better and have better distances. If it doesn't turn green, you know, if it keeps blinking yellow, even when you set the collar outside for 10 minutes and it's still blinking yellow, that's when the first thing I'm going to recommend is taking those two screws apart and pulling off that GPS flex band. You don't have to pull it off. Just take the two screws. Look at, there's a little pogo pin circle connector. Gently scrub that with a toothbrush or whatever, you know, a little electrical cleaner or whatever. Make sure that that's clean. Reconnect it. Try it. If that doesn't fix, then you need to buy a new GPS chip.
Which has been, I think, now that we're at 2 years now with the GT25. Yeah, because it was right after I started it. It was launched. And we are starting to see that they're out of warranty. They're having GPS issues.
And a lot of those, when you clean that connector, it fixes it.
And I'll say from, you know, talking to people, whether it's still under warranty or not, because, you know, we want to get you back up and running. If you can do that troubleshooting, you know, we'll, rough number, we'll say 50-50. I'll tell people, hey, I need you to flip the collar over. There's two little screws that come in. Be careful taking those out. They are pretty small. Disconnect that GPS just for a moment. Reconnect it. Snug those screws. Turn it on. Set it outside 20, 30 minutes. Let it get that green light. You know, mixed results with that. Sometimes it works, but it's an extra step we can do to get people back up and running. And it's a, and when you kind of explain that, hey, after your warranty runs out, after this 1 year warranty, you know, the GPS goes out on your 15X. That's a $200 replacement collar. 25, if it's a GPS issue, that's a $60 part.
Near backup. 50, I think. Isn't it $49.99?
All those things are so close together in price.
Yeah, I think it's $50.
But it's much cheaper and quicker than swapping units, too.
And I would recommend anybody that's would, quote unquote, is a serious houndsman, that if you, especially if you don't have spare collars, you know, like I'd recommend everybody has a spare collar. Like that is just, if you were hunting and you got all this time and effort to be out in the woods and hunting. So if I got five dogs, I want to have six collars so that if I ever have that one fail, I can throw that collar on and go hunt, right? Because it is really disruptive if you don't. If you can't afford that extra collar, the second thing I would do, and I have these too, is have a GPS flex band, spare one. You go buy a spare flex band because that's the number one common problem that we had failure-wise. And it's easy just to swap that out, see that it fixes the issue, order another one. So instead of having to get the whole collar sent in and send it to us and be out with a collar or whatever, you can have the spare kit in your hunting bag and be ready if it fails.
Yeah. And a small screwdriver, because they are very small screws.
Yeah, a little Phillips screwdriver and a flex band. Like that would be, if there's one thing I put in my spares kit for my TT25, that flex band is.
I think we've already had a couple 25s come in. I think Mike was out a little bit ago, and I was doing some, we had boxes coming in. I talked to him on the phone. He just wanted to send it in, see if it needed to be replaced. What was wrong? I have a spare flex band on my desk. I hooked it right up and it picked up. I called the guy, said, hey, this is what's going on. It's, you know, $50, $60 part. And he was more, you know, hey, can you install that for me and send it to me? And it was a real easy
fix. Did you sell him a spare?
No, I got him a good one. I got him a new one out of a box. I didn't give him my test one.
No, I know, but you should have. That would have been a good opportunity to be like, hey, having one of these in your spare kit would have saved him the hassle of shipping it to us.
Yeah.
us throwing it on there, confirming it. He could have had this thing fixed and running in 5 minutes if he had just had a spare GPS piece. And so again, I don't care if people buy one or not. I'm just saying if hunting and being in the woods is that, you know, if a couple days of being out of a collar is going to be disruptive to your hunt, you know, let's say you're hunting weekends and you got Saturday and Sunday and you get out there Saturday morning and your collar doesn't work and you can't.
No, this is good stuff. Cause I'm taking notes on everything. This is stuff that we haven't had a chance to talk about. So I think that's definitely one of those things, you know, looking at someone's order, hey, you've got 425s, you got 525s, you're serious. Like, you know, I always ask me, hey, is there anything else we can get for you? Do you want anything else? And I get the question, what else do I need? This is a good, you know, item to have on hand at all times.
Yep. It could be the difference between a 5 minute fix and calling Monday morning and having a 5 day fix, because let's say it's Saturday morning and you know what I mean? Like 5 minutes, you could have this fixed and going, or you got to wait till Monday morning. You give us a call. We get the serial number, you know, if you know, you buy it, 2 day shipping. Yep. Okay. So you're going to get it Wednesday, maybe Thursday. And now you got the replacement and it fixes it. So that turns into a 5 day fix. So that's just, again, if you got 5 days to spare, don't worry about it. You can fix it whenever. It's not a big deal. If you want that thing fixed Saturday morning, this is the number one thing. That's the first thing we're going to change. And guys can, the other thing, I'll just give a quick tip. If you don't have a spare one, swap that with a good one. You know what I mean? Like if you have two collars, one's got a GPS issue, one doesn't, swap those flex bands. If the one starts working and now the other one doesn't work, you know that flex band is bad.
Yeah. Right? So you can that problem.
You can identify and say, hey, the flex band is bad. Call us up. And if it doesn't fix it, then we know the flex band is not that good and you need to send the caller in. Right. So, that's advice I've given my friends that have called me and be like, hey, I got this, you know, this issue happening or whatever. And I'm like, hey, you take that flex band off of a good collar, throw it on your bad collar. Does it fix it? Yep. It fixes it. Okay. We need to get your flex band.
Well, this is,
by the way, I buy two of them. So you got one to fix it and you got one to throw in your spare because you might see this problem later.
No, and that's been, that extra troubleshooting step, I think has helped a lot with the 25s and explaining to people, hey, you know, your 15 goes bad. We can just go off the flashing light and guess what it is.
Yeah.
25 is, we've got a few more steps we can do.
Right. Well, while we're at it, we got one more question here on the 25s.
That was my next one, was the flashing lights.
Yeah. Red, green flashing light. It generally happens with the extended life collars. And not to say that it can't happen with the standard collar, but what we found is most of the time it happens in the charging scenario. And that the charging clip gets put on backwards for a millisecond, right? For just a fraction of a second. And then it fries some board piece on there. Now, I think, and don't quote me, but I think the newer collars have this a little better tolerance to this mistake from happening. So I think this problem will slowly fade away. But if you have TT25 collars, and the safest thing to do is not connect that clip on backwards, you know, not even try to. And especially the extended life batteries, the clips are so wide that when you try to connect the clip backwards, it's easy to touch those pogo pins to the gold pins on the collar. It's kind of harder to do it with a standard battery because they're harder and it just doesn't fit. I'm not saying you can't, but you got to use a lot more force. On an extended life battery, you don't got to use much force at all. It's easy to get those things.
And this popped up and we started troubleshooting it, working with Garmin. I know this changed my troubleshooting. You know, somebody calls, hey, my collar's flashing red and green. Once it was determined that it was a charging issue, that's when we started, hey, you're buying these 25s. Please make sure that when you connect everything, You know, I tell people, make sure your charging clip wire runs the same direction as your antenna, your collar strap, your GPS. Everything wants to be in one bundle. You want to grab everything with one hand. You don't want a wire going off on the other direction. Between that, and I'm sure Garmin has done some sort of fix, we are seeing less of this issue.
Not nearly as many as they still pop up once in a while, but I think this issue will slowly fade away.
Yeah, because that was rough for a little bit.
It was. And the unfortunate part is when it gets to that red green, there's some piece on the charging board that's just fried. And so there's no fix, there's no master reset, there's no software. It's a replacement. It has to go back and get replaced. Like there's no recovering from that red and green light that we've seen. So the best thing is just not to do that, and making sure that your clip goes on the correct way every time. Like you said, pay attention to where the wire comes out of the charging clip and the antenna comes out of the collar, and all those should be the same direction. So that clip goes on the same every single time. But unfortunately, there's no.
It can still happen. We all make mistakes, but it's just something to watch.
Yeah. Oh, our tariff price is going to raise our no, we're not going to cover that. I don't think so. I don't think we'll see. Right. There could be some pricing increases on antennas, but I'm not going to worry on that. All right. You got some Alpha XL questions, and we're going to wrap
it up. Yeah, there's been a couple good ones. The Alpha XL has been an awesome platform. I've enjoyed learning it over the past few months. And people do know that it, you know, it comes with a magnetic base. You can detach it and use it as a tablet. We're getting a few phone calls. People are getting them. Hey, I'm trying to set this up. It won't charge right unless I plug it into the tablet. I can't get my collars to add. And after some talking, you know, I'm in my recliner, sitting in my workbench. Where's the base? Is the base turned on? Is your vehicle on? People are trying to add the collars, or they're not charging it because they're not attached to the base. They're not taking power from the base.
Yeah, that's the number one thing people have to realize, is the base is the part that tracks the dogs, and the tablet is the part that you're viewing with. And so if it won't work without the base, like it has to have the base, because that's where the antenna is. That's where all the transmission and all the signaling happens. And so if it's on the base, better for pairing dogs and stuff like that. You don't have to have it on the base to pair the dogs and use the dogs, but it has to be within, you know, 5 to 10 yards of the base, and the base has to be on. So you can do it wirelessly from the base, but you got to make sure that it's connected. The easiest way to make sure that it's connected is in the upper left corner. There's a little signal there.
Right next to it says comm communication. Little dot with some curved lines coming outward to indicate signal. If it's green, you've got comms with the base. Like the one we have here, it's red with a line through it. We're too far from the base station.
So if it's red with a line through it, that's the first thing you're going to check. If you're having problems with your Alpha XL, you want to look in that upper left corner on the main page. And if you see a red little icon, a circle icon with the, you know, basically it means a communication signal. So it's a circle and it's got like little parentheses around it.
There we go. We're on. We got green.
Did it pick up from my truck?
Yep.
So if you see that red, it's not going to track your dogs. Something's wrong. You need to look at your base. Maybe your base lost power. Maybe you're too far away from the base. Throw it back on the base. You know, getting that to be green is the first step that you need to do for fixing the Alpha XL. And so, and it takes a little while to get used to it, because you're not used to it at first. You're like tracking. You're like, why is this not working? And so you just got to get in the habit of, oh, let me check my signal. Yep, that's why I flipped my truck off, or I did whatever. You know what I mean? The base lost the power.
And that's one of those other things we kind of touch on too, is, you know, if you have that cigarette lighter, that 12-volt plug, you've got one that's always hot, it's always on. plug it into that. That way you can, you know, it can always charge or you can have signal. And then the other one is the direct wire.
Yeah, the direct wire. And while we're here, we can talk about when are we supposed to get direct wires? We should be getting those soon.
They're supposed to be shipping like first week of July.
Is it the first week of July?
I think so.
Yeah, let me double check that. First week of July. We've been waiting patiently. We ran out a little bit ago. We need to put those back on the website and start taking pre-orders on them. We've had them turned off for a while because we didn't want people buying them. But those direct wires will be back in stock. Garmin's finally going to get those shipped out. Maybe they'll come a little earlier, but I'm just going to go with the date that Garmin gives us right now, which is about the second week of July.
Okay.
And we got a pile of them on order. So whenever they do come in, we'll have plenty. So there won't be any, you know, slow rollouts. We should have handfuls of them whenever they come in. And so any that we need to go there. Yeah.
I think one other good one to wrap up on is the Alpha XL and the layers mapping. There's a lot of layers, and we do get questions on, you know, is it better to get the Outdoor Maps Plus and download your stuff or get a map chip?
I had this question yesterday. It kind of depends. So the Outdoor Plus is $50 a year. And the HuntView chip is like $80, and it's for a state.
Right.
So if you're traveling and you're hunting a lot of different states, that $50 is going to be a little bit less, and you can also download maps in different states. Right. If you're only hunting mainly one state, throwing a HuntView chip in is so much easier. You just throw it in the back and it's good to go. And you got the whole state, all the satellite images, everything. Yeah. So it's kind of a catch-22. Like, I have messed with the Outdoor Plus maps. You got to download it. It's not too bad now that you can download over Wi-Fi once you get it hooked up. It's a little bit of a song and dance to get it activated. Meaning you got to log into a Garmin with a website and buy this Outdoor Plus with your account. And then you sign into the app, the Garmin Alpha app, and Bluetooth connect the Alpha XL to your app, your phone. And then Garmin will see that you have an Outdoor Plus map through the app and let you download on the Alpha XL. It's a little bit cumbersome. So there's like, it's kind of like three steps to get these maps. I wish Garmin could make it like you could just do it on the Alpha XL, which is like, hey,
scan this QR code and it takes you to a website and you sign up and you're good.
Yeah. There's some reasons for why, cause I've just been like, why is this so much difficult, right? For Garmin. Cause I'll have my Alpha XL and I want to go download maps and it doesn't have a connection to my phone. And so it's like map's not unlocked, or, you know what I mean? You don't have an active Outdoor Plus, you know, subscription. I'm like, yeah, I do. But what happened was I was logged into the wrong account on my app, because I have, you know, I have different emails that I log into different apps for different reasons. I don't want to talk about that in public, but yeah. Sometimes I'm logged into one app with this email, and sometimes I'm logged into another app or my Alpha app with my normal one and my InReach, and I got all these different Garmin accounts, my watches and all that. It gets really, really, really conflicted. And so my Alpha XL was Bluetooth to my phone, but I was logged into a Garmin account that didn't have the Outdoor Plus. And so it wouldn't let, and I was like, it was really irritating. It's like, I'll be honest, I was kind of pissed. I was like, you know,
I think I remember that you were on some phone calls asking the people to be like, why is this like this?
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm paying $50 for a service, can you just make it work on my Alpha XL and not make me jump through the hoops of all this? And the answer was no, you got to jump through the hoops. So on that scenario, log into Garmin on a computer or a browser, buy the Outdoor Plus with that email account. So let's say it's Mail It Do You Supply. Log in as Garmin as Mail It Do You Supply. Buy the Outdoor Plus maps. Then I go to my app, my Alpha app.
Do we have that email registered with Garmin so nobody else can do that?
Yeah, probably. I'm using that one instead of my personal one. Because I don't want, you know, direct emails from a bunch of solicitors. So then on the Alpha app on your phone, you have to download into your Alpha using that mail at dsupply.com email and the password. And then you would pair your Garmin Alpha to your phone via Bluetooth, right? And so now that chain is established. So the Alpha XL is Bluetooth to the phone, which it gets connected to the internet and goes, oh yeah, you have Outdoor Plus on mail at dsupply.com. You can download whatever you want. So if you got Wi-Fi, you can click on there and say download maps. It's going to work perfectly, right? If you're like me and you log out of that Garmin Alpha app and you log into do not email at dsupply.com and you use a different email address for that app, the Alpha XL is going to go, wait a minute, you don't have Outdoor Plus. And I'm like, it's kind of annoying because I'm like, yes, I do. Don't, you know, ignore me, ignore yeah. this because I'm testing something else out. So that's been a frustration that I've seen. The other frustration is I'm like, why can't I just buy Outdoor Plus in the app? Right. Like, why can't I just type in my credit card in the outdoor, in the, Garmin Alpha.
Yeah, looking here, that would be because I'm looking, like, here's my 300, there's my watch, and I can see all that stuff. But, I mean, I download all these apps that are willing to sell you stuff. I feel like that should be in here because that's what it's for.
It should be, and there is a reason, because Apple does not allow you to make purchases in-app. The only way you can make a purchase is through the App Store. So technically, if you really think about it, like on X and all those, you're buying it through the App Store. You're paying that yearly fee through the App Store. And Garmin
doesn't want to share their
doesn't want to share their cut. Like, honestly, like it's probably down to money. And so they are making you go through their website to buy it. And, you know, it's just two companies not playing nice together. So Apple wants their cut. Apple says you can't, you know, sell things inside an app that are not going through the App Store. So it's like, okay, I give Garmin a pass on that. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's a pain. But I can see why. I mean, like, they do have a valid reason that they don't want to give Apple their cut, and Apple wants to take their cut. And so there's like, you just get in these situations like, okay, it's a little bit convoluted for the customer. I wish they would figure it out and make it easier.
So for this, you know, I tell people the same thing after talking to you when these were coming out, same with the 300i, they introduced Outdoor Maps Plus. If you're localized to a state or two, chip is probably easier. Especially because you do have to connect this to Wi-Fi. You have to sit down and download what you need. You have to plan ahead. But Outdoor Maps Plus with this XL has a lot of stuff in here.
The other thing that I would tell you about the subscription, and I'm going to say my confidence in this answer is like 70 to 80%.
Okay.
Right? So I could be wrong. So don't beat me up if I'm wrong. But as I understand it, and as I ask the question, and if my memory's correct, so there's a lot of what ifs because a lot of those things can be wrong. So I'm kind of nervous saying this. So I just want to really preface it that this is the way it should be. And it's the way I remember my conversation when I was working with my Outdoor Plus issues is when you sign up for a subscription to Outdoor Plus, it goes to your account. So mail at dsupply.com. And if I register my 300 to that mail at dsupply.com and my Alpha XL to mail at dsupply.com, I should be able to download Outdoor Plus for the 300 and my Alpha XL.
So let's touch on this. What happens if you run your subscription? It's like, hey, time to renew. And you're like, I don't want it. I got a map chip. What happens to that? Those images, that download?
You can still access the the satellite images.
Okay.
Because I think those are supposed to be free, you know, the Bird's Eye Direct. Yeah. But the landowner, the boundary lines, the property lines, all of that will probably not show.
I just wanted to get that out there for people who are like, yeah, I'll pay the $50 for a map chip, download everything, and turn it off.
I believe so. So it's going to say can't unlock maps after the expired period. Okay. I'm almost positive, right? But that was my question, was your Bird's Eye, the imagery should stay there because that's supposed to be free as Bird's Eye Direct. And that's another frustrating part that I told Garmin was, is you had this free download, you know, when you first get one, you can download Bird's Eye for free.
Yep.
And then you could have the Outdoor Plus option. And as soon as you upgraded and bought the Outdoor Plus, the free option went away. And so I was like, damn it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sync my stuff right now because of this email, you know, issue in the app and blah, 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 which I have, you know, I paid $50, but I can't access it because I'm not logged in the app. And you took away the free option. I was like, that's kind of BS. You know what I mean? I'll be honest. I'm like, just at least leave me the free option so I could still access my free option, even though I paid. So I hope they fix that. That was like, I'll be honest, that's pretty BS. You know, it's like, oh, you have the free maps and then you have the paid maps. And as soon as you click on the paid maps, your free ones go away. And then because of this Bluetooth connection issue with my app, now I can't access my free ones. I was like, yeah, I don't like
that's the way not that cool. Went down.
I didn't, that wasn't cool in my book.
No. So looking here, there's a lot of layers. You've got a chip in here. I see the Outdoor Maps Plus. There's stuff in here. You know, there's the parcels. Okay, campgrounds is great. Public lands, slope angles, slope aspect. You know, contour lines. I'm guessing another word for topo. There's a lot of layers in here. What do you think about all those?
There's a lot of layers there.
Yeah.
It's up for people to kind of figure out and play with a little bit. So, yeah, I would just click on the layers and play with them. So in town, I like to have the boundary lines up and showing. Satellite imaging, you know, like I said, on this device, it's big enough that I've been actually using more satellite imaging. And so I have the satellite imaging, I get the layers on there.
I see the driving layers checked. You use the driving feature a lot.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The driving and then, you know, showing the where I've been. So it shows my blue line and stuff like that. So I would just tell people, and we could probably do a separate podcast sometime on setting one up. If people would want, like, give us some feedback on that, you know, as far as setting it up. But for the most part, I would tell people, you got to just kind of play with it a little bit. You know, when you get into some of the features like shaded relief or elevation, it really changes the top, you know, even a 3D contour, you know, it changes the way it looks. And it really goes down to personal preference. It's kind of like some people like north up and some people like track up. You know what I mean? And I can't tell you which one's right.
That's a big debate. I know. Going back to, you know, military history or military past, me and my friends with our Garmins do have that debate. They look at mine and go, why are you? And I'm like, I like direction up. He's like, well, north up's the only way. That's how you learned it. I'm like, dude, I can't do it. That is a debate everywhere, is track versus north up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that... some of those features are really a preference kind of based deal. Learning how to turn topo on and off, learning how to turn your roads, your topographical, your satellite imaging. Those are the ones I would play with. And then,
which is parcel. Something that's, I know that's when I'm talking to people, they ask about the 300 and scrolling through your alpha here. You've got training keys set up to change, turn off layers off and on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have the same for, for mine as well. But that is, you know, if you can set that up.
I don't ever use them.
Oh, I try to use all those features just because they're there. But that is an option as well. If you don't want to go through the layer button, you can set up a training key for it.
Yeah.
Makes it real quick.
And then on the Alpha XL, the training, I'll do a quick – one of the questions I get a lot is how to change the training buttons. When you're looking at the training keys on the side there, mm-hmm. there's a button on top of those training keys. It looks like a switchboard or something like that.
Yep.
It's got a couple lines and a couple circles or whatever dots in it. That is the change button or the control button. So you press that button first, and then and then you can press a training button or a key. So press one of those, and that allows you to change it without running the command.
Okay.
And then as long as that button is highlighted, it's in the change mode. So as soon as it's not highlighted and you press that button again, it's gonna do the command. So if it, you know, you want to make sure that you don't press that button on a dog of a stem whenever you're trying to change the command. But that button right there is not always obvious when people are looking at it. They kind of overlook that button a lot of the time and trying to find out what that really means. And that's exactly what that button is that's the button you would press first to tell the device, hey, I want to change the command of this button. So if my dog's on continuous and I want to go to tone, I got to press that button that'll highlight red. And then I can press the dog that's on continuous and it'll pull up the full stem.
Once you figured that out, was it easy to use, and was it pretty quick for you to on the fly adjust that?
Yeah. Once you know what that is and you use it a couple times, but at first it's really kind of cumbersome because we're used to having buttons. And so, it just takes a little bit to get used to how to use the stem commands or the training commands.
I think we'll finish up with this just because I'm curious too. I know you were really excited to get the XL. I remember it showed up here. You were sitting there waiting for that delivery. I'm pretty sure you were gone for the next couple
years
days.
I've been waiting for that product.
You were gone like the next 2 days, I'm pretty sure. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how happy are you with the XL? Or don't answer. If you don't want Garmin jumping down on you, like...
That's a really good question. I'd give it a... I'd give it an 8.
Okay.
You know, like there were some things and some early things that they missed the mark on. You know, the direct wire is one of them.
Okay.
Meaning I knew that was going to be a problem for a lot of guys. And so like not having a direct wire, that's a 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember that.
Not being waterproof, you know what I mean? So like I don't want a more expensive unit, but I would have liked to see waterproof, and I would have liked to see it lock on the base a little bit. Like I've knocked it off the base a couple times.
Okay.
And then I might even say I would like buttons. You know what I mean? The training buttons. I would almost prefer buttons instead of screen buttons. So those are my out of the box, like, I don't want to say disappointments, but it's like, that's why you don't get a 10. You know what I mean? Like, other than that, it's been, I actually use it more. I don't use my 300 nearly as much as I used to. Like, I have really, when I'm in my truck.
I think since this has come out, I think I've seen you walk through the door more with the tablet than, you know, you used to come through the door every day with your, I mean, you're the reason why I've got a carabiner clip on my 300 to carry it on my belt. You used to see that thing clipped on almost every day. Now you walk in with your XL, Sadie has to go out for WALK, cause she's in here. I can't say that too loud.
I'll say it. Walk.
she's asleep.
Found a baby raccoon.
She's out
this morning. She was barking out there and found a baby raccoon. She's pretty enthralled with little 4 or 5 week old raccoon that she wants to go out and
play with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've seen you come through the door with this more than the 300 since it came out. I know you've put a lot of time into it, and from a non-houndsman perspective, this thing is really cool. I've enjoyed learning it. I would love to have one, but I have no use for it. It's just a really cool piece of tech.
Yeah. No, it's it's good. Like I said, it's one of the things I think will roll as people see it, will sell more and more. Like it's coming from the drive track. I gave up on the drive track because of the connectivity issues, and it was always some kind of dance to get it to work right, and it just wasn't working. Whereas this thing, it's because it's its own unit, its own standalone unit. I mean, it is so much less headache involved with I haven't had a lot of issues with getting it fired up working. So, well, we've been going for an hour. I think we can wrap this up. It's a good Q&A. I think we should try and do this a little more regular when we get some questions and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, every once in a while we'll just, you know, so keep getting the staff or whatever when there's questions. And if you guys are listening and you want some questions asked, just give us a call, 855-384-8687. Give us a topic that you want us to talk about on anything on this podcast.
Because these have been things. The 25 stuff is stuff I do almost every day. But sitting here and talking about it a little more in depth, I've got a page of notes here of stuff I can add to my checklist and, you know, help people out better. So this has been good, and we're going to...
Yeah.
I've already got a list of questions from today and yesterday I'm working up. So for people calling and asking stuff.
So yeah, just if you're listening to this and you can think of a good topic that you want us to touch on, questions, answers, email us, mail@dsupply.com. Give us a call, you know, just tell somebody to write this down and give it to us. And we're going to try and do this a little more often. And it's good for me. So, all right, Mel, let's wrap it up. Thank you, Mike.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.